What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast presented to you by Underdog Fantasy. I am Vlad Sedler. I'm joined, as always, my co-host, Jason Anthony. I'm at Rotogut. He's at Boom 62. We are recording on Tuesday evening, June the 25th, Independence Day, right around the corner. Jason, how are you? How was your weekend? How was life?
What up, Vlad? Hard to believe it's into June already. Season's flying by and crawling at the same time, if that's possible. We're in the dog days of summer. It's becoming, you know, trying to dodge bullets with these pitching implosions, we'll call it, but we'll touch on that a little later. Life is good. I got to go to Lake Tahoe with my wife this last weekend for our five-year anniversary. A nice little getaway, just us two away from the kids. Come back to reality. Both kids are sick. So we know how that goes as parents, but, you know, excited to talk some baseball. It's our little Tuesday night tradition.
Yeah, that is the life. And yes, the illnesses in the pre-kindergarten stage, just a part of life, and everybody, out there with young kids knows what we're talking about. By the way, I try to get my son to, really feel with me the moment, and he's turning five soon, but the Stanley Cup Finals, we were watching, you know, I was trying to get him to watch the third period of the Panthers and Oilers, and I was actually rooting for the Oilers, like just the fact that still the ties to Wayne Gretzky, obviously my favorite hockey player of all time, growing up an LA Kings fan, he eventually came to the Kings, but just for Canada, just for the fact they haven't won a Stanley Cup since the Montreal Canadiens beat my Kings way back in 93. And so I was trying to get my son to just like, you know, focus and watch with me, cause we're going to, he's taking skating lessons. I want him to play ice hockey like I did, whether he like wants to or not, we'll see. But yeah, no, he was like, you know, grabbing his Transformers and wanting to play. I'm like, you don't understand what this means. And, you know, I probably said the word like Stanley Cup 30 times, and he didn't care about the game until the cup came out. And he was like, oh my God, wow, it's beautiful. I'm like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. There is nothing better than a game seven in sports. That will get me to sit back and watch no matter what sport it is. I'm not the biggest hockey fan, but when you get to a game seven and you're watching that highest level of competition for the ultimate crown, there's something special about it. And then I think the coolest tradition in sports is the handshakes in hockey after the series is over, after game seven, the respect between both teams. There's nothing better. But, you know, I guess I'm 41 now, and it took me about 38 years to be able to watch hockey. So your son's got some, it's hard to focus on what's going on with all the stuff going on with hockey.
Yeah. And in some respects, it's hard to focus on and keep up with all the injuries that are coming down here in the major league. I mean, we're talking about what, Justin Verlander going down. He's still not active, not pitching. Your boy Brian Wu doing the Abe Simpson walks into the bar, walks out GIF, unfortunately. I mean, just so many injuries right now. You got the Edwin Diaz 10-game suspension. It's just never ending, and it's just a part of our fantasy life, right? I mean, every year we say, oh, there's never been as many injuries as, you know, this season. And when you actually look at the data, it's usually all about the same. But for every good, for every bad that goes out and injuries that hit, a new influx of players that we hadn't even thought about come back in. And I was thinking about this in terms of something I tweeted about on Tuesday regarding pitchers that are coming back, names that people are going to want to save some fab for. Granted, they should stay healthy, but I did want to ask you about these guys. Kodai Senga for the Mets, he's working his way back. Robbie Ray on a rehab assignment. Jeffrey Springs slowly coming through. All these guys might be back sometime in July. Have you been thinking about them, saving money for any of them?
Yeah, I don't know necessarily saving money. Everybody seems to have more money this year, so I think there's going to be some real bidding wars on these guys once they're called up to start, especially the guys that were not drafted and stashed with the Robbie Ray, the Jeffrey Springs, Luis Garcia, Drew Rasmussen on Tampa is working his way back. And then, you know, the best pitcher in baseball, Jacob DeGrom, when and if does he come back? He's probably kind of the golden goose of all those guys because of what he can do for your ratios. But if it's only five starts, what does that look like? You know, not to be more bad news, but you also have Jesus Luzardo on the 60-day IL now. Patrick Sandoval, Tommy John. So, like you said, all these negative news does give more opportunities, unless your name's Max Meyer, and then you just sit in AAA pitching three innings, I guess. Only Lord knows what the Marlins are doing with that rotation at this point and how he's still in the minors.
Yeah, I was on earlier today with Shelly V and Sarah Sanchez on their Fantasy Feud Fab podcast, and we had a lot of fun, and we consoled each other over the Max Meyer thing and how odd it is, the reverse stretch out, right? Or whatever. What's the opposite of stretching out? I don't even know.
Shortening.
Okay, there we go. Common sense, yeah. yeah, it's just very weird the way that they're babying him, and just I feel like they're in defensive mode. I feel like they're a fantasy team where their first two round picks got injured in the first week, and so they're overspending in Fab. They're like overcautious with everything that's happened with Sandy Alcantara and Yuri Perez and now Lizardo, and Braxton Garrett's not looking too good now with his elbow. So they're really taking it slow, but he was great before he went down to the minors, and they kind of restretched him, and I guess he'll be back soon. I just don't know when.
Yeah, I mean, they had the manager come out and say 2 weeks ago that he was back soon, and then just radio silence. You know, they learned so much from how they treated Yuri Perez with the baby gloves and how that protected his arm so well. So, yeah, you know, let's just do the same exact thing with Max Meyer. So, like I said, who knows what they're doing? Obviously not a very well-run organization with the lack of success they've had recently, but I know I have Meyer stashed in a couple places, so I'm crossing my fingers that he comes back here in the near future, and I'm able to use him.
And this Marlins rotation is nearly unrecognizable. Like at the moment, Trevor Rogers is kind of the only guy I recognize, to be honest. I mean, we know Yanni Chirinos. He from time to time will appear on some team, and you can stream him for a couple of starts before he starts to blow up or doesn't pitch five innings, but he pitched well against the Royals, struggling Royals on Tuesday. The rest of this rotation are guys that weren't even DC targets for us going into the beginning of the season. Rottery, I call him robbery because he's whatever the reverse of stealing earned runs are, giving him up.
He's robbing your ratios.
There it is. I'm really off today, bro. So you gotta have to.
I got you, Vlad.
Thank you. Kyle Tyler, Rodri Munoz, and Valente Beozzo. That's how I think.
Now you're making up names again. We can't play this game.
No, he's real. He's a 24-year-old out of AAA. You know, just your regular old 5.5 ERA in 5-4 starts in AAA. So there you go. Marlins. Go Marlins.
But to circle back and answer your original question, the pitcher I would probably have most interest in out of that group would be Jeffrey Springs. Robbie Ray scares me coming off another Tommy John. He's already a guy that struggles with his command, and historically Tommy John recovers. That's the last thing that comes back. Kodai Senga never really got healthy. I mean, he's working his way back, but I think it's more of a Kyle Bradish situation where it's more of a ticking time bomb. Obviously, if DeGrom comes back in the near future, I'm very interested. And another name to kind of put in the back of your mind is a guy I drafted everywhere this year and ended up dropping was Alex Cobb, who's also working his way back on the Giants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jacob DeGrom, last I saw, was an update last week. He threw a 15 pitch bullpen session. That was last Monday. I haven't seen anything on it since. RotoWire, they have an estimated return of August the 1st. I'm guessing more like the end of August if there are no setbacks, but that'd be nice for Texas. But at that point, they may already be out of the playoff mix.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of reason to push him in that case, but he's a competitor, and I don't think they're really going to have much say over what he does when he's ready to come back.
Yeah. And Alex Cobb is an interesting name. And just as far as that San Francisco rotation, I mean, it's very similar to Miami there, where usually that's a ballpark where we're targeting pitchers, like where mediocre pitchers go to shine. And right now, again, you've got like, you know, two openers, you got failed rookie so far, Mason Black, you've got failed former top prospect Spencer Howard pitching opening and then pitching a few innings later. You got Jordan Hicks kind of already past his innings max, and you got some guy starting on Wednesday, I think opening probably, named Hayden Birdsong. Well, I think people do know Birdsong, but it's actually supposed to be good. But yeah, man, it's crazy out there. Snell is back at some point. Obviously, they still got Logan Webb, but those are some dire straits there for San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, as a Giants fan entering the season, the last thing we thought would be holding us back is the rotation. Who didn't see that Blake Snell signing ending up poorly, holding out and signing late, coming off a career year? That was a disaster waiting to happen. And I think I was saying that all preseason. But, you know, hopefully he can get right. He can get Robbie Ray, Alex Cobb. You know, Hicks is going to be due for a rest here. But with Logan Webb and then Kyle Harrison coming back, that rotation should be good. So if they can get healthy, hopefully they can go on a little run. But the offense has been poor and the pitching staff's being worse. So it's been a rough season for a Giants fan right now.
And then also Luis Garcia, one of the four, I believe, in the majors, the one that was the good pitcher on the Astros. He is also projected, working his way back slowly, looking at a July return at some point. By the way, come on, man, give me my props. Hunter Brown. It's just boom, 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 boom. It's happening finally.
There's no more room left to pat you on the back. You're doing it too much yourself, dude.
Yeah.
Great call, though. You were on it, and, you know, it's easy to jump off early in the season, but, you know, you got to stick to your guns, and you saw something, and he's been really, really good since he was just an absolute disaster for the first month of the year. So I like to call Luis Garcia Rock the Baby, by the way.
Why is that?
His delivery.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah, it's a best pitching motion in the league.
Yeah, dude. And by the way, Hunter Brown, I mean, just how bad that start has affected him. So he, what is it? His last six starts, he's got a 1.22 ERA, yet his ERA is still, if I'm not mistaken, it's either mid fives or mid fours, but like just that one, whatever it was, and he wasn't even a full inning. And the guy has like still like a 4.38 ERA.
That was some serious damage. Might have been one of the worst fantasy starts that we've seen in recent memory, as far as what kind of damage I did to him and your ratios if you started him. I know I did in a couple leagues, dropped him in some OCs that I had him. I'm regretting that now.
In the Mets rotation, well, we'll talk about the bullpen first. Obviously, the news with Edwin Diaz and the 10-game suspension for the sticky stuff. Sounds like the Mets are looking to potentially get a little creative with their roster because Trevor McGill and David Peterson. Peterson, by the way, I think had 8 strikeouts or 9 against the Yankees in like 4 1/3 on Tuesday. Both of those guys have options, and they may need a spot start from a couple of guys that we like and we're interested in.
Yeah, you got two just incredible arms sitting there in AAA for the Mets, and Christian Scott, who was the big fab darling earlier in the year, and he kind of got demoted without any reason behind it other than innings management. He's been really good in AAA, was really good in the majors, just kind of limiting his innings, so he's going to have to get stretched out a little bit. And then I know a guy I'm stashing in Jose Buto, 32 innings pitched since being sent down, 31 Ks, 12 walks, 3.06 ERA. Guy's got a really good arm. It's hard to believe that the arms the Mets are throwing out there right now are blocking these guys, but everybody I talk to that's a Mets fan thinks they're going to sell Pete Alonso, some of these pitchers. So hopefully they get some movement so these guys get a chance to start here coming up.
And Christian Scott, so he's made 3 starts since being demoted, and you know, solid 2 ERA, just a little over 2, 16 strikeouts to 3 walks, not bad. But he's only reached 5 innings pitched in one of those. So in those 3 starts, I guess it's a little Max Meyer-esque action here: 59, 60, and 72. At least it's kind of trending up, but. I don't know. Seems like a thing here, protecting their big investments.
Yeah, with that trending up, the writing's kind of on the wall. He's probably going to get called back up here shortly, at least for a spot start, if not more. So I need to figure out what I'm doing with Jose Buto, because he's not even first in line, it looks like, for a call-up. So I don't know if that's worth the roster spot.
I mean, you already know what's going to happen. You will drop Jose Buto right before he gets called up, and then he'll like pitch a gem, and then but then thankfully everybody will bid, like overbid for him and spend a lot for him, and then he'll like get demoted the next week because that's how it goes.
Yeah, he's gonna Christopher Morel me from last year, perfect stash, week too early drop, and then he goes nuts.
Man, a little bit of closer stuff here. The bullpen with the Cubs, it seems like a really hot topic, and from a fantasy perspective, it's a mess. So, I think most people, I haven't seen what the percentage started is this week for Hector Neris, but he's been a mess for a little over a month. If you really look into it and forget about those saves that he's gotten, he's kind of been a mess all year. And unfortunately, that entire bullpen has been. I forgot what the number is, the stat is for the number of, you know, come from behind losses or just like their ninth inning faux pas, but it's like record setting. It's pretty crazy how bad that bullpen's been.
Yeah, I saw a stat. If the games ended after seven innings, the Cubs would have been like 41-10 or something like that. It was some incredible stat, and that bullpen. I think I texted the thread last night when the ninth inning started against the Giants. I said, who is Colton Brewer?
Yeah.
Because he came in to close, and sure enough, he gave it up. I know Smiley came in, tried to recover. And he just, you know, it's one blown save after another. It doesn't matter if it's Neris. It doesn't matter if, I mean, I know they had Keegan Thompson get a save, and then he pitched a sixth inning. It sure looks like... Craig Counsell is just trying to bide his time until he can get somebody in there that he can name his closer, whether that's Neris getting his job back, that's Julian Merriweather getting healthy, or as you stated, most likely a trade if they're going to stay in contention.
And the crazy part is that 13 of the 15 teams are within striking distance here or in the wild card race. So obviously the Rockies, the Marlins, they're both way out of it. They've got under 30 wins apiece. They're both, you know, win percentage in the mid 300s. But you know, the Cubs, Giants, Reds, Pirates, Nats, Mets, Diamondbacks, Padres, Cardinals, Braves, they're all in the mix. They're all in contention for a wild card spot. I don't know what contention really means at this point because we are so far away from the end of the season, and people will, you know, teams will pull ahead and others will pull back. But it's crazy, and it's one of the things I was talking about earlier today about how all these articles that I see, I can't even click on them, about like trade rumors and like what teams need. I feel like it's just like fluffer pieces that I'm not going to click on because I don't even think like front offices know what they want right now. And because the trade deadline is 5 weeks away from here and teams don't know what position they're in, whether they're buyers or sellers. And it's just a bunch of fluff for me.
Yeah. Anything being talked about right now is not happening. They're just writing for clickbait because nobody knows what's going on. There's really not much yet. Maybe we'll look at another Aroldis Chapman to the Cubs. Maybe they have another Gleyber Torres to trade. Who knows? those trades back then with the closers were nuts to kind of go back and look at the prospects that were being given compared to what's being given now. But you got to believe once Bednar gets healthy that the Pirates are going to be looking at trading Chapman for something. And there's obviously some needy teams with the back end of their bullpens.
Yeah, and right now, I mean, the only decent reliever is, and we've been kind of pounding this drum for a while, is Tyson Miller, and he's been moving up the leverage tree and pitching against key parts of the lineup. And as it stands now, 24 appearances, 28 innings. He's got a 2.22 ERA. He's got a 0.67 WHIP. 26% strikeout rate, and he's been really good. So I would love to see him take a shot. I know because of his arsenal, he's not like the typical closer variety. I don't really know. Like we'll see what transpires this week. Colton Brewer got his shot. He got a save last week, and then as you mentioned, blew it on Sunday. Drew Smiley might step into the picture. We don't know, and maybe even Hayden Wesneski pulls his act together and gets going, but. Ben Brown might be the guy we keep talking about as well, who just kind of fits things really well, especially if they want to limit his innings for the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's a sneaky name because there's a lot of swing and miss in that profile. And if they want to keep Kyle Hendricks in the rotation, who's been really good since being put back in, it's a good way to get something out of Brown and keep him healthy as well.
I don't know if you saw my little Kyle Hendricks. Like, I've just been anti Kyle Hendricks for so long. And in the Fab article, I was, you know, pretty much like, hey, be careful here. And then I started digging into things. And then once we noticed that he was going to have a decent two start week on paper, and looking at the fact that like how bad he was in that first 5-6 weeks of the season. And honestly, I mean, he's bad, but he's not as bad as he was there. I mean, every start was like 6 or 7 earned runs, and it was clear that he was hurt. But yeah, you nailed it. You know, last couple of starts, he's been much better. I don't think he's going to be like 0-1 earned run per start better. He'll even out. But at the end of the day, I mean, I would guess that Kyle Hendricks is probably going to stick in that rotation.
Yeah, I mean, it's an arm that's known how to pitch for a long time. It looked for last couple of years that he was done, but he's kind of turned it around. Another start tonight, 7 innings, 5 hits, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. So he does it again.
Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah, right. Kyle Hendricks, that is. So the guy is on a heater right now. I know personally it'd be really hard for me to click that button to put him in the lineup, but you get enough data there, i.e. Cal Quantrill, who I'm starting this week in some big leagues, and you know they can kind of get me to change my mind, because at the end of the day, you're looking at stats, not names.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then over in the Blue Jays, their bullpen, obviously Jordan Romano is shut down, so he's not pitching. I'm really not expecting much from him at this point. I don't even think people really should be holding him. And Yimi Garcia, it looks like he's going to be coming back sooner than we thought. So we figured it was going to be a little bit more than the typical 15-day IL stint, but he's tracking to come back likely next week. It's very possible. Chad Green hasn't had many save opportunities, but he's been excellent this season. He's been one of the most reliable relievers in baseball. Before that, Yimi Garcia was literally the most reliable, like, non-closer, I feel. But how do you see that situation working out? Should we have bought in and try to stash Yimi Garcia last week?
Yeah, I think if he can get back healthy, with what Romano's injury history and performance has been, I think he got shut down from throwing a long toss, so it's not like he had a minor setback on the mound. So he's a good month away minimum. If Yimi can get healthy, and that's a big if when somebody's dealing with a shoulder arm injury, he could run with the job. I know the manager came out and said Chad Green was the closer until Yimi got back, but their Blue Jays haven't won many games recently, so we haven't been able to see the leverage ladder really in front of us. I know Nate Pearson pitched a 7th the other night with a lead. So he was not going to get the save opportunity and give up 2 runs at that. So I would say it's Yimi and then Chad Green, and kind of, I agree with you. Romano's a tough hold right now. But closers are so valuable to have. If you can come back the last 2 months healthy, could be valuable as well.
Looking into a few of the hitters, and we figured it was probably too good to be true, but Josh Young dealing with tendon inflammation. He was shut down over the weekend. We thought it was just kind of to give him some rest, and he was supposed to join the team on Tuesday or Wednesday, probably get back in the lineup, but that looks like that is on hold. Tristan Cassis is supposed to get some news, I think, tonight or tomorrow, Wednesday, about when he can, you know, get back into the swing of things, literally. And then Christian Encarnacion Strand, he had surgery on his wrist. He is out for the rest of the season. So more cautionary tales about us not getting our hopes up about guys coming back from injuries.
We're going to learn someday, Vlad. Today is not that day, because I know I've stashed a CES a couple places. I had dropped him before that news, but another wasted roster spot for those weeks. And Josh Young, another guy you're hoping comes back in a good lineup, but you know, it never just goes smoothly. It seems like with these injuries, there's always little hiccups, and something we got to remember for future decisions, because we're always have the rose colored glasses with injuries as fantasy players. You know, the optimist, he'll be back short term on the injury, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. He'll be back in 3.5. Not many guys are Wilson Contreras that can come back with a broken arm in 6.5 weeks when it says 8 to 10 on the injury. That's definitely the it's abnormal to do that. So, yeah, roster spots are important. Stashes are dangerous. Get guys that are playing, I guess, best advice I can give.
You just mentioned about Wilson Contreras, and today in the FTN Discord, I had somebody ask who I liked between Wilson Contreras and Yainer Diaz the rest of the season. And then they asked Wilson Contreras versus Francisco Alvarez rest of the season. Francisco Alvarez has been incredible, really, really hitting well beyond expectation and not really killing the batting average either. But how do you play those three out for the rest of the season? If you had your choice, what would be your preferred order?
You know, I think I'm going all the way back to my preseason rankings with what I liked in that order. I had Yainer Diaz as my catcher number 2 or 3 entering the year. So he's still my number one. And then it would be Contreras and then Alvarez. So I don't think enough has happened to really change the order. All three of them are extremely good catchers. You'd be lucky to have any of them on your roster. To have multiple good catchers like that is a blessing, and you really can kind of pick up stats and jump other people in front of you if you got two catchers rolling like that.
And I think the real answer is whoever, like, honestly, I don't think there is going to be much of a difference. I think you are in a good spot either way, in any of those three ways. It's just who is going to avoid the IL for the rest of the year. That's really all it comes down to. And I think there's in the back of our minds that always that little bit of concern with Contreras. He always finds some way to get hurt. It's a little older. So I did answer Contreras over both, but I'm wondering now if I should go back and tell him, get the one of the younger guys, because Yainer Diaz in that lineup he's in a great spot. And I feel like he's only getting better week to week.
Yeah, you also can play the game is that Contreras and Alvarez have already dealt with their injuries, so maybe they'll be healthy the rest of the year, and Diaz has not. So, hopefully they get their playing time. And, you know, I'd love to be in a league where I have the choice between the three of them at this point.
We got Starling Marte, last note here. He's dealing with a knee injury. He's going to be out for at least a month. That takes us just about to the All-Star break or a little after it. And Ben Gamel, old name, little DFS sparker once in a while. He has been recalled, and probably a little bit more playing time for DJ Stewart, Tyrone Taylor, but it does feel like that team's going to get gutted at some point.
Yeah. Again, like I said, talking to my Mets fans or friends who are they're Mets fans, they really think that team is going to get gutted. And what does that look like? Current state, you're looking at a big side platoon for DJ Stewart with Tyrone Taylor on the small side because they still have JD Martinez on the DH. So you're really not getting any excess outfield time with that group there because you have Brandon Nimmo and you have Harrison Bader in the outfield, who are both healthy at the moment as well.
And then one more, actually. This is a guy that we would love to see get called up to the majors. And he's had flashes of success, and he would be joining a great team, a playoff team, and that's Garrett Mitchell of the Milwaukee Brewers. He is already off he's in the minors. He's been hitting the minors, got a couple of bombs, a couple of stolen bases, I think a few games, about a week and a half of games. At some point, he'll get called up here, but I think like Blake Perkins playing well has been holding him back a little bit, or the fact that they're not rushing Garrett Mitchell. But what are your feelings for Garrett Mitchell for the second half of the season?
You know, I actually, in a lot of leagues last week in Fab, I took a chance and picked him up thinking that he was actually going to get the call on Monday. I missed the mark on that one, but I think it's going to be very soon when he does get the call. He was a top 150 pick come draft season. He was leading off in spring training. There's a lot of fantasy skills there that we really like and I think can help the Brewers. I think Blake Perkins is who he is. He's been good, really good defensively, been surprisingly decent on offense, but Garrett Mitchell is definitely an upgrade over him.
So we are going to talk a little bit about the ball and the changes in the MLB atmosphere, and also look into some playing time trends. But first, some words from our sponsors. Want to make money making picks on MLB games? Then you have to try Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. In Underdog's Pick'em game, you just pick your favorite baseball player and predict whether they'll go higher or lower on stats like strikeouts, hits, and more. Pick 2 to 5 players, get all your picks right, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Be sure to sign up with the promo code FTN, and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100, so you have some bonus cash to start playing with. Again, that's UnderdogFantasy.com or Underdog Fantasy in the App Store. Sign up with the promo code FTN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100. Must be 18 or older, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, 21 older in Massachusetts and Arizona, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. In Tennessee, call 1-800-889-9789. We are back. Let's talk about the ball. And the ball. Tell us about the ball, Jason.
Yeah, I love having these little discussions. And it's not even about the ball. It's about the pitching landscape that is rapidly changing in front of us, that you're watching a lot more blowups happen with your ratios. You're watching your mid-level starters that are getting hit hard. You're starting to come up with some a lot, basically coming up with more and more difficult decisions on this guy's, you can trust him to start. You know, and I don't know if it's the ball being changed by the MLB. I would not put it past them with what's happened, or if the weather's just getting warmer. You know, last 2 weeks especially, there's just been some carnage with the ratios. So, you know, it's more of a discussion point is how do we navigate this pitching landscape in 12s, especially where you have more options. And how do we do it in 15s? Is it more middle relievers? Are you targeting bad offenses? Are you targeting guys that are hot, offenses that are cold? You know, there's a lot of different angles to play this. So I kind of wanted some insight from yourself. How are you looking at navigating these next couple months with the pitching ratios skyrocketing?
It's part of it is just unavoidable. And I mean, the John Gray, you had him last week, and the random 9-run blow up after just pitching gem after gem, that's you know, it's a hard pill to swallow, and can happen to anyone at any time. It's happened to the best pitchers, people that have been waiting for Gerrit Cole to come back all this time, and then a mediocre first start, and then 6 earned runs to the Mets. That's also just it's tough. And then something opposite, like, you know, you pick up Griffin Canning for a 2-start, looks good on paper, but you just know in the back of your mind, like, it's just not going to go well. Hey, Griffin Canning goes out and pitches a gem. It's really hard to predict these things. One of the things that I try to do in the Fab article is really break these guys down in the 15 and the 12s. And as I'm researching them, I'm changing my recommended bid ranges. You know, maybe one example that wasn't ideal, but like, I originally started with, you know, Casey Mize has a 2-step this week. One of those starts is against Philly. He's been horrendous over the last 3 months. Just like, don't even bid. It's like not worth it. The chances of a blow up far outweigh the benefit. Now, for a team that was heavily in need of strikeouts, you got 9 strikeouts in 4 innings, which is so un-Mize-like. That's fantastic. But if you're looking to minimize ratio damage, you kind of got what you paid for. And I don't think a lot of people went after Mize. And then other times it's just looking at, you know, the skills and the matchup. It's like the combination of everything. Carson Spears is one example for the Reds. Somebody that, I mean, for me at least, seems to have come out of nowhere, has had that one relief appearance where nobody had him rostered and it was like 6 clean innings, looked really good. And his last couple starts have been decent. And what I'm looking for there is, you know, the matchups, hopefully that he's away from Great American, not facing top offense, and that, you know, I'm looking at things like walk rate. Control to me is very important. Just the basics, you know, Ks and Ks and walks, and, you know, the the player. So I don't know. It's really tough, but we just, what do? We take it week by week. We analyze each particular situation. If you have the time to dig in, or just have us, you know, do the work for you, if you trust our opinions on it, go with that. But ratio blowups are inevitable, but there are ways to minimize the damage for sure, no matter the landscape.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's definitely unavoidable. I think I had a main team with Luis Hill and Shota Imanga on the same squad last week, which, you know, they were just carrying the pitching. So it's hard to be upset about it, but that was a really rough week on the ratios. So, yeah, I mean, it may be some thought in 15s, especially to really try to build up the strikeouts early. So, you know, come July, August, you can start maybe throwing three relievers, maybe even four on weeks where you have bad matchups. But I think something that's important is avoiding the really good offenses, the Phillies. I guess the Braves would not be in that at the moment. They do, you know, by name they are, but not on paper. The Dodgers, and then Yankees, even the Red Sox can be a little scary. So Orioles. You're just trying to have Orioles, man. Yeah. Yeah. How did I miss them? And then, you know, targeting some bad offenses, the Mariners have just been anemic. Obviously the A's, the Rockies on the road, man, even the Rockies at home for a bit, depending how good your pitcher is. It's definitely a fine dance that we're doing as fantasy managers, trying to figure out who to start, who to sit. You're going to miss some good starts. You're going to absorb some bad ones, but, you know, have a process, have a reason you're doing it, and, you know, live with it.
And on the 12 teamers, the most, and I feel like this season in 12 teamers, more so than ever. And I don't think it's just, anecdotal. It's just like for real, the in my 12 team OCs, there's just not a lot of quality pitching on the wire. Like, people are not dropping guys, good guys. And I like to be very careful, and I advise people to like be careful of the name brand recognition, or looking for like positive regression when there are no signs of it. And the examples of that would be, you know, somebody like Brian Bayo, who, you know, he was dropped in a bunch of 12 teamers. He was available in a few of my leagues. And I looked at his, you know, recent body of work, his full season, not a big strikeouts guy. And then not a good pitcher at all this season. I'm looking at his two start. And again, and it was, you know, the Toronto Blue Jays and the Padres at home, but I ended up taking him off my recommended list. Like, my thought was like, don't even go for it, just because he's had success in the past. People love the Red Sox, people love him. Like, it's not worth it. And obviously his start didn't go well on Tuesday. Who knows? Maybe he throws a gem and turns things around against the Padres, but it's like avoiding those type of things, or avoiding like a, you know, Andrew Haney, just because of the name brand. It's one thing if Haney gets like, you know, he's a lefty and he's facing two like bottom of the barrel teams who are really bad against lefties, like say the A's and the Tigers or something, you know, like that makes sense. But in general, like, careful with like the name brand guys, or the guys that have provided success or kind of popular, and avoiding streaming those in 12 teamers.
Yeah. And be extra careful about chasing two start weeks in Fab 12s and 15s. This is the time of year where your ratios just can get hit to a point where you can't recover if you're chasing too much.
An interesting one that's going to come up here is Spencer Turnbull. So he's not going to be available in really, I'm pretty sure he was scooped up in the remaining main events, but in 12 teamers, I'm sure there are some shares of Spencer Turnbull available. He goes back home to his original home back in Detroit. He's going to face the Tigers on Wednesday, probably by the time you hear this, or maybe the start's already passed. But if he continues, you know, on schedule, there are no rainouts. I don't think there's any rain right now, but he would line up for like at Cubs, at Braves. And, you know, it's Wrigley, wind likely blowing out 90 plus degrees. And then, like, you know, the Braves are starting to kind of, Austin Riley's getting back going, Ozzie Albies is getting going. Like, it's kind of a scary two start on paper. So,
yeah, Turnbull has been really good this year when he's been in the rotation. obviously against the Tigers, you're starting him with, you know, with bells on, we'll call it, second week in a two-start week. That is a tough matchup. Wrigley can be that really goofy ballpark. I think actually most of the time it's blowing in, but, you know, there is a, you know, not a small percentage where it's when it's blowing out is a scary, scary place to pitch. 15's really not much of an option. You're starting that there, but 12's, that would be a tough two-step for me.
Yeah, so the best advice kind of to recap it is, just dig into each one. Like, don't be bidding on players blindly or just looking at the matchup, because you know that these teams are, how do you put it? If the teams like look bad on paper, quote unquote, but then if you're looking at a lefty, like maybe, you know, this team is has like 130 WRC plus against lefties, but they stink against righties. And so you want to be careful of those matchups. Things like, you know, maybe people don't know that the Angels like absolutely crush lefties this year. That's probably a matchup that you might want to avoid. So things like that, really do the homework or find the sources that you're comfortable in that does it for you to help you avoid those landmines and stay away from the brand names.
Yeah. You know, and I said a little bit earlier, but don't play armchair quarterback. Oh, I knew that was going to happen. Or I wish I did this way. You know, don't look backwards. The only thing you can look back to do is process. If you had the right process, you're going to have mistakes. You're going to make wrong decisions. But if you have the process, you'll make more right decisions than wrong decisions. And ultimately that'll make you a better fantasy player.
Let's talk some, American League, just kind of run through things quickly, team by team, just looking at, recent lineup setups, decisions, activations, demotions, and things that can kind of lead us into good start sit decisions this weekend and possibly a little bit of a fab preview for next week, or just, you know, keeping in touch with trends. Let's, you know, starting with the Royals, for example. Freddie Freeman, red hot. We love it. We're enjoying it. We picked him up last week in 15 teamers where he was remaining available. All of a sudden hits the bench for the last 3 days. The reason behind that, Michael Massey is back, but Michael Massey, they're not ready to put him out into the field. So they've got him DHing the last few weeks. So because of that, a guy like Nick Lofton, who is not really fantasy relevant, but in 15 teamers, he's somebody we like because he's got a little bit of that like high contact profile. So, you know, hitting like 90% contact rate the last couple of weeks. So he's not even playing. You've got CJ Alexander, 27-year-old rookie, made his debut on Tuesday, left-handed bat. He played third base. Mikel Garcia moved to second. Mikel Garcia was lost his leadoff role, then got it back, stole two bases on Tuesday. There's just so much going on, just like with the Royals at all. And I haven't even mentioned the Nelson Velasquez demotion.
Yeah, and I correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Nick Lofton led off at least one game last week. So there is some interest if he can get some PT. But I would believe Massey would come back and play second. They'd keep Mikel Garcia to third base. CJ Alexander's not really much of a prospect to be worried about as far as playing time. He's having a good year in AAA, batting .326, 10 homers, 36 RBIs in 57 games. But you have a really high K rate. Although it has improved from 29.9% to 23.8% from last year to this, but he's got a 401 BABIP in the minors, which is carrying his batting average. I think last year his batting average was in the 220s. So you're just looking at more of a warm body here until Massey can get back in the field, I believe.
Yeah, exactly. So he'll be, I'm guessing Massey will be back in the field by the weekend. I think he'll continue to just, be on the strong side platoon at second base with Nick Lofton. That's what I would think. And just looking ahead, like, you know, trying to figure out how many lefties versus righties the Royals might have. They're going to be facing a lot of righties. So to me, that just looks like a lot of playing time for Michael Massey. I think he can even be a 12-team pickup.
Yeah, he has some good fantasy skills to get excited about if he can get some PT run.
Let's thicken in that AL Central there. The Detroit Tigers... Akil Baddoo, he's been sitting a lot lately. He's sat in four of the last six. Justin Henry Molloy, he's been struggling mightily. I think he's hitting like 160 since he's been up. And then they just have a lot going on there because they have guys coming back. Like Parker Meadows will be back eventually. Kerry Carpenter is probably a couple of weeks out. There's still Torque on the prowl, Spencer Torkelson. I haven't even checked in on him in the last week. I don't even know how he's doing.
He's been bad. Really cooled off in AAA, and I actually was reading that they really don't want to bring him up till after the All-Star break. So, you think a team with that doesn't have a lot of this year to win for would let him figure it out like he did last year. It could really kill the confidence of a young man being sit down the AAA and then struggling again, especially with the bounce back he had last year. But, you know, Scott Ginstead had a great point. You know, maybe we're looking at Torkelson the wrong way. Maybe that 2 month stretch last year was the, you know, was the not normal. Maybe the normal is he's just not very good. So it'll be interesting when he does get called back up, how good he is. I have no idea what they're doing with Parker Meadows, another guy I've been stashing. You're looking at Akil Baddoo and Wenzel Perez. Meadows is playing plenty good in AAA for the call. I don't know what's going on 100%, but seems like Wenzel Perez is keeping the seat warm for Meadows. Justin Henry Molloy is keeping it warm for Carpenter. And then they'll figure Spencer Torkelson when he's ready to come back up as well.
Yeah, and you're right. I was just looking at now I'm catching up on Torque, and I'm a little depressed, but yeah, it is what it is. Parker Meadows on last box score I have for him was a 2-for-6 game, 4 runs scored, a home run, 3 ribby. So he's
still need that in the lineup at all.
Not at all. Not at all.
No.
What about the Guardians? What do you like in there? Any trends that you're seeing?
Well, I just like saying the name Daniel Schneeman. He's got a big side platoon, minor leaguer, great walk rate. Can he be something? He's getting an opportunity to play kind of different positions in the diamond. I believe he's playing shortstop from them right now. Is that correct?
Daniel Schneeman is no. They got he played. So they've been playing Brian Rocchio for the most part.
So he's playing outfield.
He's played center field, third base, and second base.
So he's got a kind of utility feel going on there.
Yeah. And by the way, that's another team that we're avoiding right now. I don't know about you, but like when I see Guardians, it's like it's danger.
Yeah. I mean, talk about the team that just puts a bat on the ball and just hit BABIPs your pitcher to death. Not somebody you really want to play against. And then you have the Josh Naylor, who just is a monster. Speaking of Josh Naylor, you got a note on here that Bo Naylor's heating back up and hopefully can get some PT. So you got much on Bo?
Oh, dude, no, that one feels good, man. I randomly, on a whim, picked him up 2 weeks ago. It wasn't on a whim. It was on a hope and a prayer. It was like there was nothing in his profile that suggested that Bo Naylor is going to turn it around other than like that I know he's a Naylor and he just, you know, I don't know if that makes sense, but like, you can't hit 140 forever, right? And so all of a sudden he's hitting. He's been hitting, hit a couple home runs last week. He played against lefties in each of the last two starts. Austin Hedges, who typically will start against a lefty. They got David Fry, of course. David Fry can catch. David Fry has cooled off, but he's been DHing more. But they let Bo Naylor hit against a lefty 2 games in a row, and he's actually been hitting them. So I don't know how long it'll last, you know, but just for me, it just seems weird. A guy like that is just forgotten about, easily available for like a dollar or two. I mean, it makes sense. He deserves it. But like, yeah, Tuesday, he went 3-for-3 with 3 runs scored. His average is up to 202. Here we go. Yay.
Man, does that feel good or what, Vlad? You don't get the license plate roto gut on your car for no reason there, right?
That was not gut. That was just, you know what? You know what else is crazy? Let me not bring him up yet because there's another catcher that is just like going off. He's crazy right now.
All right. You want to jump to the West, the AL West?
Yeah. Let me just make sure. Did we cover all the Centrals?
I didn't see any.
There's five.
We don't have the Twins,
Guardians.
On here. Yeah. You got Kirilloff on the IL. You got Miranda's got PT. What else is going on there?
Kirilloff was demoted. He's like and IL.
Yeah.
First he was demoted, then hit the or something like that. I don't know.
Double whammy.
He sucks.
He sucks so bad he got hurt.
He sucks. Trevor
Larnach.
Yeah. Yeah, they got for me, the Twins, they're one of the heaviest platoon teams in the league. So you just know on an upcoming week when you can play Trevor Larnach and Max Kepler. Because, you know, when they're facing a whole bunch of righties, it's a very kind of transparent lineup in that respect. The one thing I'll mention, Byron Buxton is heating up, which I like to see kind of under the radar.
Yeah, it's really good to see him healthy. Another name to keep in mind to follow in the minors is Matt Wallner. A lot of power, kind of, I call him the Brent Rooker of the Twins. He's playing pretty decent in the minors. Should get a chance here, hopefully in the near future, to come back up and be successful again.
Over in the NL, AL West, start with the Astros. What are some of the trends we're seeing here other than Joey Loperfido against the lefty finally?
I think they found the bus that the Pirates used for Edward Olivares and sent Loperfido on it. the guy's been on the yo-yo, but it sure seems like he's actually going to get a run to play now. It'd be really nice if he can see him playing first base at all. I think he's going to get a nice long run if he can. He got to play against a left-handed pitcher, which is huge. Huge power, but a lot of Ks. So we'll see if he can be successful in the big leagues. So far, so good in a small sample size. No barrels, but he's hitting over 300. But he needs to not strike out in the high 20% in order to be successful. Speaking of first base, John Singleton's been so bad. He's been benched for Mauricio Dubon. Singleton's 27% K rate, batting 222. He's not a major league first baseman. And the other note I put on there was Chaz McCormick's playing time has returned. He's played in 5 out of the last 6. I know he was getting dropped quite a bit. The old accountant from his picture on the NFBC. So he's another point of interest for me.
Yeah, the Astros have been kind of like the Braves of the AL in terms of not really platooning a lot. They've just been letting who they have hit and giving somebody an occasional day off, but the lineup is really settled. And part of that has been Trey Cabbage is essentially no longer playing. And John Singleton has not been either. So, you know, as you mentioned, like almost a 30% strikeout rate the last month or so for Singleton, he had that little, like, what, 2 weeks of the season. But like Mauricio Dubon has become super valuable to this team. He's been playing first base for the last few days. So that's, you know, I don't know how long that'll last. It does seem like the Astros just want to keep Loperfido in the outfield, but seeing him hit against the lefty, I think, was a nice sign. Eventually, Kyle Tucker will get back. Maybe some of these pitchers will get back, you know, with Verlander and, I mean, everyone but McCullers, right, is coming back.
Never McCullers,
yeah. But yeah, I mean, I won't get into the all the pitchers there. Chaz McCormick, I think he's somebody that we should consider in 12 teamers soon. Like I feel like I would want to look and see who they're facing the next couple of weeks to see if they've got some good matchups on deck. But they go for 7 on the road, the Astros. They play 4 in Toronto and then 3 at Minnesota. So they'll be facing some good pitching.
And a lot of that you know, kind of depends with McCormick's playing time on is what they do with Loperfido, if he's going to stay in the outfield, because Tucker coming back, it will kind of limit the outfield availability as far as how many opportunities there are to play out there.
Then, and continuing with the NL West, you've got the Angels. I saw a rare Tuesday with Luis Rengifo, my boy, went 0-for-4, which is weird because I feel like he's always like getting the stolen base or a hit. But that foursome is pretty locked. The fivesome actually is pretty locked in for the most part lately. It's Nolan Schanuel has just been the leadoff man there, their first round pick against lefties and righties. Rengifo solid at second. Taylor Ward is their big three hitter. He's been hitting really well. Logan Hoppy is the 5, and I left the 4 open on purpose because Kevin Pillar isn't really playing anymore. They've got a straight platoon again with Willie Calhoun. He's facing all the righties. That's who the Angels have been facing mostly the last week and a half. And now Miguel Sano is back.
Yeah, I'm glad that they were able to find room for him in that room of powerhouses that Ron Washington said last week they didn't have room for Sano, who actually looked pretty good to start the year. He was a guy that was some fantasy interest, slimmed down a lot, was actually playing some third base. You know, with Rengifo, he can kind of play anywhere. So I'll be interested if they try to get Sano back in. Couple other notes. Joe Adell has really struggled since a hot start. Has he built up enough goodwill with the manager to kind of work through these struggles, or is he going to get sent down? Is he going to get cut or just benched? And then Mickey Moniak, his playing time has greatly increased, and he's actually been hitting pretty well recently. So another guy to put on your notepad for the 12-teamers.
Yeah, Moniak, he had a 4 RBI game. I don't know if that was if he had a grand slam or something.
He had a grand slam, was it today or
yes,
yesterday?
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yep. Off Mitch Spence. And Taylor Ward, the average isn't great. He's still hitting under 250, but he hit his 14th bomb of the season.
Who needs Mike Trout?
Who needs him? Yeah, and I don't even know if he's, honestly, I don't know. This might be crazy. I don't know if he'll play another game as an Angel.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some chatter about trading him. If and when he gets healthy, that'll be really interesting. Talk about a shock to the baseball world if you see Mike Trout in a different jersey.
Yeah, it'd be crazy. And I don't think this, honestly, like, call me crazy, and it's not a homer thing because I'm not like an Angels guy, I'm a Dodgers guy, but I don't hate this offense. Like, I like this offense. And this is like with Brandon Drury hasn't even played in a while. He actually has missed like 5 straight, and unfortunately a bunch of that on one of my main event benches. Dealing with an upper respiratory infection, and he was maybe supposed to play or be ready off the bench to pinch hit if needed, but he again did not start on Tuesday, and I don't know if he did not come into the lineup. So hopefully he gets better and gets back there. I don't hate this lineup, and you're pointing out about Joe Adell. You're not going to like this. Since the beginning of May, so we're almost 2 months in. He's got 8 home runs. That's nice. 19 runs, 22 RBI, 4 stolen bases, but he's hitting 131 with a 34% strikeout rate.
Well, it's nice to hear that Brandon Drury didn't retire. I could have thought differently having him on a couple teams. So it's nice to hear he's trying to make his way back, but guy's been a bum. So hopefully he can kind of help your main event team. I just dropped him for Brendan Rodgers in my main event team. I couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, it's the thing that I'm stuck on with Brandon Drury is that at some point he'll get back to being okay. I know he was, he had a rough start to the season, but I'm thinking back, this is a guy that averaged over the last 2 seasons, 26 homers and like 88 RBI. Doesn't happen by accident. He had, these last couple of good years. So I think just him getting healthy and getting back, which to me at this point looks like it might be like a post All-Star break type thing.
Yeah, and that first and second base eligibility, being able to cover corner, middle, first, second, that's huge value. But if you're only going to play 2 games a week, that value evaporates quickly.
Rest of this NL West, the Rangers are pretty much, now with Josh Young probably not coming back all too soon. Josh Smith is like really settled in here. He's locked himself in as the number 3 hitter. And he's hitting 300, and he's hitting third in the lineup ahead of Corey Seager and Adolis Garcia, a very valuable lineup spot against lefties and righties. So he's been great. Wyatt Langford is quietly kind of getting back into that AL Rookie of the Year race. And yeah, it's that horse thing where the top half of the lineup is great and the bottom half is the bad end of the horse or whatever it is.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't have much to add on the Rangers. Mariners, Jorge Polanco's back playing second base, which is going to kind of move some playing time around. I know Dylan Moore was getting a lot of run. What else do you see there going on with that lineup?
Yeah, so one cool thing is in our FTN projections, like you don't see our actual... You see the output for the week and the value that it turns into and the stats and the plate appearances and everything, but you don't see the actual lineups that we set like Monday through Sunday. We actually, I don't think anybody's else did that. Literally had Jorge Polanco projected to hit second. So I don't know. I was like these little wins. I was so excited when I saw him in the lineup hitting second. I was like, oh my God, because it's a random thing, right? Because before he got hurt, he was like hitting 8th. And I just didn't really see it, but so he hit second, and guess what? Golden Sombrero, horrible game. They moved him down to 6th or 7th in the lineup, and they moved Julio Rodriguez up to second. I would like to see him settle in there.
Yeah, Julio hitting second is the sweet spot, and we need some production out of Julio because man, has he been bad as from where you drafted him this year. I know he's a second half player, but it's been rough.
Oh, second half is coming, hopefully
Yes, it
soon.
is.
Luke Raley, so solid middle of the lineup guy. I feel like he's just been very consistent. And anytime you see like a bunch of righties for the Mariners on the schedule, you usually know you'll probably get something out of Luke Raley, at least a couple of home runs and a stolen base. And Dominic Canzone, he's been hitting well over the last couple of weeks and looking good. So another fab pickup for a few of us this week.
Yeah, the only other note is Mitch Haniger losing playing time on the small side of a platoon now. But man, he ever since he came back from that nasty injury, he's never been the same.
Yeah.
A guy I really root for too, and just can't do it.
On the A's, by the way, Max Schumann, not to be confused with Daniel Schneemann on the Guardians, he was hitting so well from the bottom of the A's lineup that when Abraham Toro got hurt, Max Schumann got the leadoff gig, at least against righties. And he was brutal, like just literally forgot how to hit. So he's probably moving back to the bottom of the lineup. And they got to figure something out. I don't know who can really hold the job the way that Abraham Toro did so well. But yeah, there really just aren't really any candidates for it. From that team, JJ Bleday continues to be a solid hitter. Same with Brent Rooker. Miguel Andujar has been hitting for average. Tyler Soderstrom has been hitting bombs. So has Shea Langeliers. And Zach Gelof, actually, since coming off the IL, he struggled for a week, but he's been great the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean they have some decent bats on the team. Still a lot of holes in it. Needs some help. It'd be nice. I'm not even gonna go to the I'm not even gonna go any further with the A's. They're not a very good team, but they do have some fantasy producers.
Indeed. Let's move over and close things up with the AL East. Yankees.
The Yankees, Ben Rice, first baseman slash catcher in fantasy. That's where it gets some fun. I know the bids were kind of all over the place. Them trading for JD Davis kind of tempered the prices, I believe. But the manager came out, Boone said today or yesterday that Rice is not going to be in a straight platoon with JD Davis. He's going to play some versus left-handed.
Oh.
So that's a big note because his play straight platoon obviously hurts his value a little bit. The other note, it's hard to believe that Trent Grisham and Jahmy Jones are the best the Yankees can come up with playing in the outfield to cover for Stanton's injury. I know Jason Dominguez got hurt. A little moment of silence for that because he'd have his opportunity right now. And I had to cut him in one of my leagues. I was really excited to have him come up, but it definitely put some stress on that lineup having DJ LeMahieu, who has 0 extra base hits this season.
Oh,
That's an
that's nice to
impressive
know.
stat. Almost as hard as to do as is to spell his last name.
I've seen, there's some worse. Spell and say Saltalamacchia 5 times fast.
Gesundheit.
The Red Sox. Hey, Tyler O'Neill, another bomb. By the way, Rafael Devers, watch out. He hit a home run on Monday. He hit a home run on Tuesday. Usually that means he's going to hit a home run on Wednesday. Super, super streaky guy. When he gets going on the power, it's like lights out stuff.
Yeah, he is starting to kind of produce that value that you drafted him at. So hopefully he can stay healthy because it's kind of been dinged up off and on. I know Masataka Yoshida's back off the IL. I don't own him anywhere, so I don't know if he's platooning still. But yeah, Willy or Abreu, and then Jarren Duran has just been a monster as well. Talk one of the best Junes.
Monster, monster, monster L. From me there, like me just locking in on Jarren Duran not going to lead off and just being a platoon bat, completely wrong. And there's things that I've learned about him over the last few weeks and about his kind of persona and his attitude and the whole no days off thing. Like I love that kind of stuff. So I'm really turning around on Jarren Duran and kind of like the energy on this team, with him and David Hamilton being phenomenal and super flexible. Like hitting against lefties and righties, stealing bases, hitting bombs. He doesn't care if he's hitting at the near the top of the lineup, near the bottom. Sidani Rafaela continuing to have a pretty solid rookie season there near the bottom of the lineup. Connor Wong was cold for a while, and I think he's on his wife's having a baby. He's on paternity, and he's on another hitting streak himself. So he's been great. So I kind of like these Red Sox. I wish Casas comes back soon, and I really wish that Garrett Whitlock could have been a part of it all.
Yeah. Talk about a fun team and a dangerous offense. So when Casas gets back, it should be really, really a powerhouse, I would think.
We got the Orioles, of course. We'd be remiss not to mention them. Part of the five in the AL East. Heston Kjerstad was called up. He actually picked him up on a few teams and unopposed bids, and somebody that I wasn't interested in the last time. But this time I was like, you know what? Let me try $5-$9. Even on teams where I had Ohtani and Ozuna, I figured I could stash him for a week or two. And I do think he can like stick around this time. But what he did was he fired up Colton Cowser, because Colton Cowser has been one of the coldest hitters in baseball over the last month and a half. And Colton Cowser went in and hit a bomb on Tuesday in that big high scoring game with the Guardians. So we'll see how those guys go. There's just a lot to love with this offense. I feel like a lot of fantasy championships are going to go through this this Orioles offense.
Yeah, we thought Joe Adell was bad, and Colton Cowser said, "Hold my beer," because he's been terrible. It's really interesting because Cedric Mullins and Cowser have been really bad, and they're their primary two center fielders. I don't know if it continues where the Orioles turn, if they have to send Cowser down, because Mullins cannot hit against left-handers. Do they play Jorge Mateo in center field? I know they love this defense in the infield, but they really kind of have a hole there in center fielder unless Colton Cowser kind of gets it together. I don't believe Austin Hayes can play center field. Anthony Santander definitely can't. Mm-hmm. So they have some interesting decisions to make in the outfield. And then, you know, when does Kobe Mayo get the call? You have Ramon Urias that's kind of locking down third base, and with Westberg, and they have some veterans that are doing good, but Kobe Mayo is a difference maker, I believe, when he gets called up. But you also look at that team and the lack of pitching they have with all the injuries, and you got to believe there's a trade on the horizon with these prospects for a pitcher.
Yeah, absolutely. And nice to see, by the way, Cade Povich pitching well, looking good out there. And by the way, Cedric Mullins, just because I do have him rostered on a main event team and, you know, tracking it closely, he actually has been decent in the last 10 days. So he had been like Cowser-esque, Adele-like for a few weeks there. And since the middle of June, basically, or the last 2 weeks, he's hitting .341 with a 160 WRC plus. Sub 10% strikeout rate, 3 stolen bases, so not bad. But again, this is a guy that is in a platoon at this point, and you pretty much are just hoping to get some stolen bases where you need from him.
Yeah, and he can get hot and get you some stolen bases, so not a drop by any means.
Last couple teams here, saving the best for last, or at least for me, from a fantasy perspective, super interesting. The Tampa Bay Rays, for one. My boy Jose Caballero, come on, man. I was so mad when Taylor Walls came back. I just wanted him to like stay down. Taylor Walls is, he was hitting 150 since he's been back. And then I think had a triple or like a 3 RBI. I mean, he had a really good game on Tuesday, but he's been playing shortstop pretty much every day as the Rays have played a lot of righties. And Caballero has been losing playing time. I've been picking spots to actually sit him for the first time ever, especially as they were playing the Mariners for 3 games here. But Caballero has been playing some third base lately as they've been moving things around with Brandon Lau out. Brandon Lau did not go on the IL after breaking his toe. He could be back at some point this week. But so Brandon Lau's, you got that, and Jose Siri playing every day. Yandy Diaz finally heating up. I don't know. I always kind of like the Rays.
Yeah. And then you have Josh Lowe, who's back now playing great. He was a big target of mine in the preseason, but the injury kind of took me off of him. But I love his skill set, as I know you were a big Josh Lowe fan after last year. you know, I guess Taylor Walls is the Aaron Judge of defense, because they just love his defense. So, which makes sense. That shortstop is a key position out there. But what you got from Caballero so far this year, it's kind of a run to the bank with it and maybe cash out here in the near future, because what you got, you probably didn't expect to get that much.
Well, I expected that much just because I had him very high in the projections. I mean, I had him for like 36 stolen bases or something. So another thing, I can't cash out because it's FAB. Right? I mean, well, because it's non-trade league. So I think in a trade league, that's potential if someone will give you something for him. But I think the book has not been closed yet on Caballero. I still, I don't know, just call it blind hope. But yes, the playing time is not ideal. But again, I think he'll kind of get some, you know, go through some hot runs and get there. So we'll see. Maybe I'm just, maybe it's just hopeism or whatever.
Miguel Vargas line two.
You know, I love Caballero, man.
So let me ask you this. If the playing time continues like this, when Brandon Lowe comes back, would you keep Caballero on your roster if he's playing what it's projecting right now on a small side of a platoon?
Yeah, only because I have him on 15 teamers, and you never know. Like, you always kind of want to have those stolen bases, and he kind of goes through his spurts, and I think there are times to play him. Like, you know, the Rays have a lefty heavy set of matchups. I couldn't see myself, you know what I mean, like dropping him for someone else to enjoy. So I can't do it.
I got you. Do you think he reaches your projection as far as stolen bases?
Because there's still a big half chunk of the season to go, and he's decent enough defensively too. Like, they're not just going to bench him. I don't think he's going to get the Ahmed Rosario treatment, but you just never know with the Jays, I guess.
Yeah. Or the Rays.
Wow, it's late. Oh man.
I mean, speaking of Ahmed Rosario, I see him floating around on the FAB page, and it's a name that you just avoid now. There's no playing time or fantasy skills. He's not rosterable anymore, and he's rostered in 15 teams more than he should be, I believe. He's played, I think, one out of the last six games. Just there's nothing there.
Yeah, it was kind of like an empty average. I think he's like got a decent batting average, but you just again, the Rays will Ray. You never know what the playing time will be like. And yeah, there might be like a spurt where he gets a whole bunch of it, but you just don't know when. Save the best for last year within this team. Ben Rortvedt, dude, it is happening. First, you got him and Yandy, the two, you know, all they need now is Tyler O'Neill, and they could have their own, like, you know, professional weightlifting team.
Ben, this a yoga been, club.
Dude, Judge, this dude has been insane. So I don't know if you remember, in the first part of the season when he was playing a lot, he was getting like a hit like almost every day, and he was hitting like 300, but with like no power whatsoever. And we know he's like a big guy, big powerful guy, but like no extra base hits, hardly any. For whatever reason, since Alex Jackson's joined the team, he has been unconscious, dude. It's like, since the 7th of June, he's got three bombs. On Tuesday, he hit another a three-run shot, four RBI. You know, he's got even a stolen base. So he was one of the catcher adds to add this past week. I mean, he looks like the main guy here. Rene Pinto is long gone.
Yeah. I mean, he could run with this for a bit. So if you got him, hopefully he keeps it, because that guy he looks like a professional hitter, and he's actually starting to, you know, put stats up like one right now too.
All right. Now the absolute best for last. Can I tell you how excited I am to see, and maybe you are too, because I know the guy that led off today for the Jays on Tuesday, you are a fan and heavily invested in, but like me opening a box score and not, before even a game starts, and seeing Bo Bichette and then Spencer Horwitz and then Vladimir Guerrero Jr. just makes me so happy. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I just wish the Blue Jays would do something with that offense, because it is stale. You know, Davis Schneider kind of carried them for a bit. He's cooled off a bunch. He's not playing. Dalton Varsho's back's dinged up right now. George Springer had 16 RBIs after this weekend. I had to triple look at that stat when I heard it. he is single-handedly killing your fantasy team if you've been starting him every week, which you probably are by owning him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was talking bad about him in a text thread with some buddies, and of course he hits a two-run homer today. So I have that magic touch. But he's been bad. When you, you know, we talked about, or you mentioned Isaiah Kiner-Falefa in the earlier outline. I know you want to touch on him here. He's been really good as far as baseball, fantasy-wise. Again, though, what's he actually doing for you? And then you have Kevin Kiermaier. You got Danny Jansen, who's been underwhelming. You got Alejandro Kirk, who's terrible now. I think they have to sell, but it was interesting. Somebody brought up a point. If they... they're going to have a hard time selling because that's that GM basically admitting that he failed, and he's mm-hmm. probably going to get fired. So he's going to sell to lose his job. So I don't, that's going to have to be a directive from the ownership.
By the way, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, he was my, so I should have kept him instead of like over fabbing or like overthinking. So I've now played Brandon Drury for zeros since the beginning of last Monday, when I could have just kept Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, who actually got to lead off for three games in a row, who is on a 9-game hitting streak and has been like legit solid. Like he is hitting like 320 with 14 RBI in the month of June. Like just looking as far as like people in June, not a lot of people have 14 RBI. So he's been pretty good. I'm not going to last very long, but we enjoy it while we can.
The Blue Jays offensive savior. Sorry, it is late, Vlad.
It is. Yeah, we're about to wrap this bad boy up. We just went through the AL East, West, Central as far as playing time. We'll see. Maybe we'll do a little NL next week and check in there. Hopefully, everybody found that helpful. Random tidbit: daily leagues play Randall Grichuk for Friday, Saturday. He's going to get two lefties. He crushes them. I think he's going to crush them this week. And then get in on some of those Rockies. They're going to get the White Sox for three this weekend, of course, on the road. And then they go on a 10-game hit streak. It's not your parents' Rockies, but there's still some guys. And Hunter Goodman's been hitting. Brendan Rodgers is starting to heat up. Ezekiel Tovar and Ryan McMahon have been hot. Those guys were obviously rostered, but there could be some goodness and some possible good fortune with the Rockies coming up.
Yeah, nothing like a nice long Rockies homestand to get some stats if you get the right guys.
Yeah, so thank you everyone for indulging us, listening to us this week. I'll try some less back padding, and maybe I'll have a Red Bull before the show so I don't drag you down, Jason. So thank you everybody for listening. For Jason Anthony, I'm Vlad Sedler. This is the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast, and we'll talk to you next week.